As we've been looking at the tabernacle, I thought it would be good for us to continue with these sermons into our communion season. And the tabernacle, as we've noted, it's to do with access to God. God has promised to dwell with his people. He will be in the midst of his people. But how can unrighteous, sinful people approach a holy, majestic, perfect, unapproachable God? And the answer lies in the tabernacle, the provision that God has made. But we also know that this tabernacle or this tent, it is only a shadow or a copy of the reality, the true provision that God has made, Jesus Christ. The tabernacle points us to our Savior. And he is the one through whom we can draw near. He is the one in whom we have the very presence of God dwelling among us. Jesus Christ is the one who has opened up the access that we can approach the unapproachable, holy God. It is in Jesus Christ that we dwell with God as Father, Son, and Spirit. This evening we come to the second piece of furniture in the holy place of the tabernacle. And it's a lampstand. It's situated on the southern wall of the tent. You come into the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, from the eastern side, the eastern wall, and there's the curtain. And as you come in, on your left-hand side is this lampstand. And it's opposite the table for bread that we thought about on Sabbath day. The details for this lampstand are given for us in Exodus chapter 25, verse 31 to 40. And here in Exodus 25, we have these instructions for building. Now, it's interesting that we don't have the measurements of the lampstand. We're given measurements for the Ark of the Covenant. We're given measurements for the table, but not for the lampstand. We are told the weight. It was to be one talent of pure gold. That's equivalent to just under 5.5 stone. That's about 75 pounds or 34 kilograms. So it was a substantial amount of gold that was used for this lampstand and the small utensils that went along with it. The lampstand itself was shaped like a tree. It had a central shaft running up. I'll have a picture here. So it was shaped like a tree. It had a central shaft running straight up with three branches off either side. On top of the shaft and on top of each branch was a lamp, a container for oil, and a wick would have been placed in that to be burned. So 7 lamps in total. And these branches were ornate. We're told that they were to be designed like an almond tree, with its calyx, its blossoms, and its flowers. Now, if, like me, you don't have a deep interest in botany, you're perhaps wondering what a calyx is. Well, that's the part of the flower which includes the sepals. If you're still none the wiser, that's the outer casing of the flower before it buds. And then when a flower, when it flowers, when the bud opens up, you have the beautiful petals, the green leafy bits underneath that were part of the casing. They're the sepals, and that's the calyx that had closed in over the petals and the flower. I have to say, if that is incorrect, and I know some of you know more about flowers than I do, please do say to me afterwards, but my understanding, that's what the calyx is of the sepals and the flowers. So this is what the lampstand was. It was tree-shaped. It was to represent the almond blossom and the flowers and this the sepals or the calyx. It's a nice picture. It was also called the menorah. That's the Hebrew word for the candlestick. But of course, the purpose of the lampstand was to give light. We read that in Exodus 25. The purpose is so that it can give light in verse 37. The lamp shall be set up as to give light on the space in front of it. And we read in Exodus 27, verse 20 and 21, you shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may be regularly set up to burn. And Aaron and his sons were to look after that from evening to morning. Throughout the generations, there's to be a light shining. I should say at this point, if you're doing any research on any of these bits of furniture and you're on the internet, you may come across some strange and startling things about the lampstand. You might see pictures that will have different numbers representing each of these blossoms and calyxes, and you'll come across the number 3 and the number 4. And you might even have each branch of the tree representing one of the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of teaching out there that I think distracts from the main purpose of the lamp. It's not there to be a number grid that we can find wonderful number designs in that point us in strange and sometimes awful places. The purpose of the lamp was to give light. And anything that distracts from the purpose of the lamp is taking us away from what God gave it to the tabernacle for. So if you are doing more research and more reading, and if you're into conspiracy theories and things, you'll come across these wonderful number grids. I won't go any more into that. Just be cautious with them. Don't get sucked into them. Don't be dragged away from the purpose of the lamp, and that is to give light. And of course, it is this lamp and the light that point us to a reality that we have in Jesus Christ. This lamp and the light are pictures of what we possess in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we are looking at tonight. The lampstand in the tabernacle, given so that there might be light, and it points us to Jesus Christ. So let's consider this lampstand this evening. And the first thing I want to think about is the need for light. The need for light. Not many people like the absence of light. Darkness is often a childhood fear. That little child who wants the bedside light on when they go to sleep. Children generally don't like the darkness. But if we're honest, if we are left alone in a dark room, we don't really like the darkness either. It can be uncomfortable. It can be nearly claustrophobic, closing in around us. So when light shines in darkness, there's a sense of relief. Things become clear to us. We can see the way to go. We understand we need light. For the priests working in the tabernacle, remember it was a covered tent. There was a curtain at the entrance. It would have been dark inside. The priests couldn't serve. They couldn't minister before God without there being light. These priests couldn't be in the presence of the Lord without light. So God provided the lampstand. It was a need for light. But they also knew that this was teaching them an important spiritual truth for the people of Israel. An important spiritual truth for them and for us. God, throughout Scripture, is often described for us as light. We sang Psalm 27, "The Lord is my salvation and my light." The Lord is my light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John writes, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Light is a symbol for God, for his presence, for his holiness. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. They walked with God, they talked with him. But when they rebelled, that fellowship was cut off and they were sent out of the garden. And that changed everything for mankind, because now man is in darkness. And so where the Bible describes God as light, and light is used to represent God, so man is described as being in darkness. And the Bible says that's our sin and our fallen nature, being absent from the fellowship of God. Removed from the fellowship of God is darkness. In one of the commentaries I have, they have a quote from the Canons of Dort. Now, the Canons of Dort came from a synod in the Netherlands. They were dealing with five doctrinal issues. And so they're setting out five doctrinal truths. This was written in 1618. And this is the quote from the Canons of Dort. Because of sin, man brought upon himself blindness, terrible darkness, futility, and distortion of judgment in his mind, perversity, defiance, and hardness in his heart and will, and finally impurity in all his emotions. This is the result of sin, a breaking off of fellowship with God. And that sinful nature means that we are in blindness, terrible darkness. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. Darkened in their understanding. There is darkness outside of God. And this is where we were. In our sinful nature. In our fallenness. The absence of light. The absence of fellowship with God. And the Bible tells us that the punishment for our sin is darkness again. It's described in this way. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, well, the sons of the kingdom, that is the kingdom of this earth, they will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not only is darkness the place where we are in this life, but it's the eternal punishment that we deserve. The outer darkness, continual, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, because of our sinful nature, because of our sin. More than anything, we need light to break in, to enter God's presence. We need light to be able to approach God. He is light, but we are in darkness, and so we need His light given, His light provided, that we might be able to draw close to the One who is light, because without light, we will be cast into outer darkness forever. As we prepare for coming to the Lord's table, as we prepare for fellowshipping together in God's presence with God, we have to remember we were in darkness. And we were headed to the place of outer darkness. And as we examine ourselves again, as we remind ourselves of who we were outside of Christ, being in darkness, we need to remember that the great need that we had was to have light. Light brought to us that we might approach God who is light. There's a need for light to enter into God's presence. But then secondly, we have also here the provision of the light. God provides the lampstand for the priests, and he provides it so that they can serve, so that they can minister before him. It's interesting that this lampstand is shaped like a tree. Here is a tree that gives light. And it's a tree that's full of life. The almond blossom, the flowers, the calyx. This tree is full of life. There's no doubt that for the people of Israel, when they were considering the lampstand in the tabernacle, their minds went to the Garden of Eden. Here in the tabernacle, God has provided a tree that gives light and life. A tree that was cut off from Adam and Eve after they sinned. They could no longer enter the garden. The tree of life was cut off from them. And now here in the tabernacle, God has provided a tree that speaks to them of light and life. The almond tree is a symbol of hope and life. It was the first tree to blossom after the winter. Its blossoms actually appeared before the leaves started to appear on the tree. And so in Scripture, we have the almond tree as a symbol of hope and as a symbol of salvation. It was also a word that's very similar to the Hebrew word for watching. The Hebrew word for almond and the Hebrew word for watch are very similar. We have that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah received a vision of an almond branch, and God asks him, "What do you see?" Jeremiah says, "I see an almond branch." And then the Lord said to Jeremiah, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." It's a play on words. The word watching and almond are very similar. Here is a tree that speaks of light, and it speaks of life and hope and God's watching and God's care. Here is a symbol for the people of Israel that there is life and light in God's presence. And this is what God has provided them with. In the darkness, and in the spiritual darkness, God provides light and life that speaks of a sure and certain hope, that speaks of glory. Wouldn't it be great if we could have this lampstand in our own church building? Oh, how wonderful to have a physical lampstand here in the church building that would speak of light and life. We would do so well to have that lamp. You know, we don't need it, because we have the reality of what this lampstand is speaking of. It is only a shadow. It is only a picture of or a copy of the heavenly thing that God has planned and prepared. It's just a picture of the reality. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There's those two words coming together again. Light and life. And that's the testimony that John gives concerning Jesus in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus is the reality of this Old Testament picture. He is the true light. So there's no need for the old lampstand, because we've moved beyond the shadow, beyond the copy, to the reality. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shone the light of Jesus Christ into our hearts. Where we were once in darkness, God has provided the true light. God has provided the one that we might see the way into His presence, that we might be able to follow the way into His presence, that we might have life to be brought into His presence. Because it is this true light, Jesus Christ, who went into the darkness for us. He took the punishment that our being in darkness deserved. That eternal punishment of God, the outer darkness. And there for 3 hours on that cross on that Friday, as the darkness came down, Jesus Christ was paying the full price for our sin, the light of the world, enduring the darkness for us. And yet, of course, He did not stay dead. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Life came to where there was darkness and death. The light shone, a sure and certain hope, a resurrection in Jesus Christ. No more sin and death in Jesus Christ. God has provided the light to defeat the darkness, that we might be brought into His presence. And so as we look at Jesus Christ, we have to say that in Jesus Christ there is light and there is life. He is the one through whom we approach God the Father. He is the one in whom we serve and minister before God the Father. He is the one who has brought light to our life that we might see and worship and bring glory to God. And that light has been brought into our very hearts. We have been changed in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we have life, eternal life. God has provided the light and the life. This is the reality that we have. And as we come to the Lord's table, we are reminding ourselves, this is the light that went into the darkness for me. Here is the one who gave Himself for me. Here is the one who died that I might have life. God has provided the light. The need for the light. The provision of the light. And then thirdly and lastly, the reflection of the light. The reflection of the light. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, we're told that the churches are described as lampstands. 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of them is one like a son of man, Jesus Christ, the true light among His church. But the churches are also described as lights, as lampstands. In Jesus Christ, we are now to reflect that light. We are now called to shine in the darkness. This is what Israel was to do. They weren't just to have a light in the tabernacle, but they were to be a light to the nations. They were to reflect that light that was given to them to those who were still in darkness. They were to keep this light continually lit so that they could continually minister in God's presence. That was the task of the priests. And in that light, they could serve God and minister to God and then bear that light to the world. This is who we are. This is the God that we serve. Let us show you him. Let us talk about him. Let us sing to you about him. Night and day, day and night, ministering and serving and proclaiming to the nations, a light to the nations, the churches, the lampstands. We are to do the very same thing. Jesus said, "You are salt and light. Let your light shine before men." Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Because God has shone his light into our hearts, because Jesus Christ gave himself for us, and we have his light bringing us into the presence of God, his light in our hearts, we are then to live that light out, to reflect that light to the crooked generation in which we live. There's an interesting vision that the prophet Zechariah receives in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. And it's the lampstand in the tabernacle. The tabernacle's long gone. The lampstand is long gone. But Zechariah, in his vision, sees the lampstand and two olive trees. And these olive trees have pipes coming from them, leading straight into the lampstand, because the oil flows continuously. And God was saying, I am going to be providing for the church, continually providing that they might shine. And we have God's Word and God's Spirit, which furnish us and equip us to burn continually, to shine continually in Jesus Christ. We are to reflect the light of Christ. As we come to the table, as we approach God, as we approach him through the light that's been provided through Christ, we are reflecting Christ to one another. We are saying that we can only approach and serve and minister in the light that he's provided. And as we come to the table together, we are saying this to one another. We can only serve together in Jesus Christ. Keep looking to him. Keep looking to Jesus Christ. Keep feeding on him. Know that you have God's grace supplying you, that you too might shine for Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who entered into the darkness for us. Reflect his light. God provides for us that we can continue to do that. And of course, this is ultimately a picture of heaven. The tabernacle, the tent, is just a copy of the heavenly things. We've seen this as we've been looking at the tabernacle, continually being pointed not just to Christ, but to our eternal destiny in Jesus Christ, our dwelling place with God. And there, in glory, we will see that light in its fullness. And we will reflect that light perfectly. We don't do it perfectly here on earth, but there will come a day when we will be able to minister and serve continually in the presence of the light. As we finish, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. We're going to read from verse 22 into chapter 22 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. We know that this lampstand is a picture of Jesus. It's that image of a tree that is both light, that is both life and light. And he has come for us. We are to reflect that. But this is also our eternal destiny. We read from chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it. For anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. This is our reality in Jesus Christ. He is the light who draws us into the presence of the Father, that we might have life, that we might serve and minister, that we might reflect that light to the nations. And this is our eternal destiny, to see the light face to face, be in his presence. Amen.